Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good afternoon on this beautiful Good Friday. We are broadcasting live from outside of Franklin, Tennessee, and this is Fridays with Faith, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. Today, we're very excited to be able to welcome a new host that's going to be joining our show. She will be broadcasting once a month, and several of you may know her. She's been on our show a couple of times, and her name is Miranda Sullivan. Miranda, thank you, and welcome to the show today.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're excited about it. If you'll remember, with our previous shows that we had, Miranda has been very involved with positive discipline, doing some wonderful things with children. You know, she wrote her first children's book, The Adventures of Positive Penny, which I loved getting that and having that autographed and given to my bonus grandchildren. And so anyway, we're kind of excited today to just find out all the things that she's been involved in since she was on the show last and kind of her idea of what all she plans to do as she hosts the show going forward. So, Miranda, why don't we just jump right into it? And you, because I know we've got an important show to do today.
Oh, well, thank you so much. What I was thinking about, well, and what's really been in my prayers is to have a show for families where I can take about 10 minutes at the end of the show to talk about positive discipline and give tips or ask particular questions of parents that call in. And then I would like to have guest speakers on with healthy living. You know, there's several people that I've come across, like chiropractors, that can talk about, you know, how you hold your baby properly and what chiropractic can do for children. Because I've heard that there's a lot of kids that have ear infections, and it could be because of something that needs to be adjusted by a chiropractor. And I want to have churches on to talk about the programs that they provide for families, so you can go there. I want to have information about daycares and the programs that they have, again, for your family. So things that are going on around town that are great for your kids to be exposed to. And have information about that. So I want to have all kinds of different speakers. It's all going to be good, positive stuff to help with health, eating, some spirituality, and, you know, and music. I'd like to talk to some artists that are, you know, having an effect with their music and kids also, like I am hoping to do, and it seems like it's already, before the project is done, is having an effect in children's lives. So that's where I'm wanting to go with the show.
That's wonderful. And I think right off, let's go ahead, and I'm going to give the guest call-in number. And if you're listening and would like to ask some questions or make some comments, we would love to have you join the show. We like it when it's very interactive. So that number is 1-805-292-0349. Again, that number, 1-805-292-0349. And if you will, just if you want to make a comment or ask a question, the operator will ask you to press 1. We will see you here on our switchboard, and then we will bring you into the show when we can and have you join us. So we would love that. And one thing I thought about, Miranda, might be good is for the listeners that have not heard you before or know exactly what your mission and what you have in mind, maybe it would be good if you could, you know, just give us some background, tell us some more about you, your bio, what has led you to this calling that you're, I really consider it a calling, and the fact that you're answering it now at this time. And I know you've been working on getting to this point for several years. So would you want to do that and kind of give us a little bit of a background?
Yes, I would love to. This is not something that I planned, so I also agree that I know I've always wanted to make a difference in children's lives, and I ended up getting involved in a children's choir in Phoenix, and I really, really loved it. I worked with the parents. I was a volunteer coordinator. I went out when we did. I was in charge of them when we went out and did events outside of the church, and then I helped the parents. I wrangled up the parents to help bring snacks and food and games to keep the kids entertained and busy when we had free performances. And I loved working with the parents. I loved what kids learning how to sing and be a part of that. I loved what that was doing. And then when I'd worked in the corporate field for a long time, and in sales, I was in advertising for 9 years. And then when I relocated to Nashville, I knew that I wanted to get involved in music and kids again, so I started volunteering at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and then I ended up being a nanny, and that was not something that I had ever thought about doing, but I had a roommate that was doing some nanny work, and she told me about the agency that she worked for, and I applied, and I started working as a nanny, and things just evolved from there. And what actually happened was I was working with a little four-year-old girl, and we were talking about how you could see a rainy day is either a beautiful day or ugly day, because it was raining out, and she said, you know, it's such an ugly day, and she was going on and on about that. And I said, well, I think it depends on what you want to call it, and I'm going to choose to call it a beautiful day. And she just looked at me like, how on earth could you do that? And I said, well, if you really look at it, I said, the rain's coming down and it's feeding the trees and the flowers and the grass, and that's all beautiful, isn't it? And her face literally just lit up, and I was just amazed that she was like, well, then I'm going to call it a beautiful day. And I had a lot of gratitude around that, but I had no idea how that would really stick with her. A few days later, we were driving in the car, and I'm just paraphrasing to make it short and sweet. Again, she told me, Miss Miranda, it's a beautiful day. And I was like, wow, this is really awesome. I had no idea that such a small phrase of something positive could change a child's life like that. And not only that, like, it was like a month later, we were standing in the garage, and she brought me this picture of her standing under an umbrella with her family, and it was raining. She had all her little dots on the page, and she showed it to me, and she said, it's a beautiful day. And I was overwhelmed with gratitude and love, and I just gave her a big hug. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so amazing. And it just got me thinking, well, what if I could do that for a lot of kids? Well, as God would have it, I ended up getting the idea for the book. The name is The Adventures of Positive Penny, with an I, after a very dear friend of mine that was made a huge impact on my spiritual awakening. And just we went through a lot together. She's a great friend, and she's also a positive minister. She used to have a church, and she's just teaching people about what you think, about how you feel about yourself. Has a lot to do with what we create in our lives. And anyhow, then I got the idea for the animals, and they're like Papa the donkey and Angel the cat and Sapphire the pig, and the kids just love them. And I knew that I wanted encouraging music to go along with it. And so I got the book done. I sat down with that little girl, and I don't draw, and I drew stick figures, and I planned out how I wanted it to look, and I wrote the words to it, and then I found an illustrator. Her name is Erica Swenson. She did an incredible job. It's actually a story coloring book, because I love the fact that the kids can make it their own and color, you know, the pictures, and you know, that's part of what positive discipline is helping them make things of their own and be in charge of things, you know. When they're little, there's things that they can be in charge of, and we'll talk more about that later. But so I've been writing the music. I wrote Trust What You Know with Donna DeSopo and Ramona Schwalbach, and that was an amazing experience because I literally got guided to change the name of the book from Penny Meets Her Friends to Trust What You Know, and to write a song to teach kids about trusting what they knew in their heart. And I just thought, well, I don't know how to do that. You're really going to have to help me with that. And one night when I was walking around my apartment complex, I got pretty much the whole chorus as it is now. And it's trust what you know in your heart to be true. That's the voice inside of God speaking to you. It'll teach you what's right. It'll teach you what's wrong. If you find your way, if you lose your way, you'll find your way back home. So trust what you know in your heart to be true. And I got together with Ramona and which are dear friends of mine and great songwriters, and we decided to write the first verse about Billy. You know, he's thinking about cheating on a test, and he feels this knot in his stomach. And, you know, we all get those feelings of if we're going to do something wrong, you know, and part of what I do is teach kids. It's really important to teach kids to listen to that. You know, that's an important sign of, you know, you and yourself and the essence of who you really are, of knowing what's right and what's wrong. And, of course, he decides to not cheat, and he, you know, does his best to ace the test. And then the second verse is about bullying, about, and that's part of what the book is about. It's about social interaction and self-esteem, and because I had to write a book where she met the animals, where Penny actually eats the animals. It's a Beautiful Day will be the second book. And anyhow, we wrote it around bullying and how you don't have to go along with, you know, what your friends are doing. You can actually befriend them. And I have some Girl Scouts that are actually N.C.H. Henry that are singing on the album, and it's already making a difference in these children's lives.
That is so wonderful. I love that. And, you know, like you said, it started with just that one little girl
mm-hmm.
that started the whole idea, and now it's just a snowball. We see a caller has called in. We're not sure if you're wanting to make a comment or so if you are, you'll need to press 1 with the operator, and we'll bring you into the show and make a comment or ask us a question. That'd be great. And all right.
Okay, so she presses 1.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. You're live.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Great.
This is Amy Dengate. I am Faith's mom, one of the Positive Penny singers.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, Miranda.
Hey. Thank you so much for calling in.
I guess I should talk a little bit about how Positive Penny has affected us, kind of how we got into it.
Yeah, that would be awesome to share your story.
Okay, well, at the end of last school year, that was Faith's second grade year. She's in third grade this year. Her Girl Scout troop leaders sent out an email that was an opportunity to try out for Positive Penny Singers. And at the time, it was an exciting opportunity because Faith loves to sing. So we definitely were interested. And once we started listening to the songs, we got even more excited about it because we love the songs, we love the lyrics, and little did we know how blessed we would actually be by it. It turned out that Faith was chosen to do some of the singing, but in her third grade year this year at school, she's had some difficulties. She's had some kids that haven't been very nice at school. She's had some bullying at after-school activities. She even had somebody that was kind of being mean to her at church. So just a lot of different areas where she's had some problems with bullying or just mean kids. And being able to sing these songs, especially Trust What You Know and all the other songs, too. We love the theme song. We love all of them, really. But to be able to sing about values and things that are important to you and important to how people you would like to be treated, I guess is what I'm trying to say, has just been such an encouragement. And there's just something about music, too, that that lifts your spirits and kind of heals you even when you've been hurt. So, you know, God just blessed us with putting positive Penny in our life this year. It's worked out so beautifully, and I'm so thankful for it.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. It's been a wonderful experience having you and Faith being a part of this whole creative process. I'm learning as I go. It's been really incredible, and I had no idea that God had times like that to touch people's lives. I mean, I knew that that's where my heart was, but for it to already be making a difference in children's lives before it's even done, because we're getting everything prepared to go to the studio, and, you know, for everything to sound great, and the kids are doing a great job, and all the parents have been really amazing. I will go ahead and let you go, because I know you're spending time with Faith and your other kids on Good Friday.
I wanted to ask a question real quick, if
sure.
I may, Amy.
Oh, certainly.
Hi. My name is Faith, and I was just wondering if you know of how that may have impacted your daughter just by simply having the name Faith.
Is very well aware of where her name came from. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, and that's from Hebrews. And she knows that she was prayed for desperately, and that that it took a lot of faith to bring her into this world. And she's a very special miracle baby, and she's learning what faith truly is. Right now, it's almost been 1 year since she became a Christian, and just probably the happiest day of my life. But she's learning what it is to live out faith, especially in this past year as a new Christian. And I love that she's learning what her name really means and feeling it. And I think the more experiences she has and the more her faith grows, I think her name will be even more special to her, as is yours. I love it.
Yeah, I know that it has kind of, in some ways, guided me my whole life. It kind of, you know, at times when you weren't aware of it, but it's kind of a big name to live up to in some ways, but it never has felt like it was too much. It was just, anyway, I've always loved my name, and I've always had people comment on it, say, oh, I just love your name, and I always say, I do too, you know, because I do. I was just wondering, as a small child, you know, as being as, you know, little like that, you know, how that might have, you know, because I remember there's more people named Faith now, but when I was little, you know, people would go, what? You know, they thought maybe they heard wrong. So I was just
right.
Curious about
well,
that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it's my greatest prayer over anything else that my kids will know God's love. And if they know God's love, I know that their faith will grow. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that it was never a name that you had to live up to. So that's encouraging to me, because I would never want her to feel that way. But just hopefully
right.
It'll be a comfort.
Right. I think it's an inspiration. It's an always, you know, kind of out there where you're wanting to be that better example, that better whatever. I think that's what it has been for me. So, well, that's wonderful. And she's going to know God's love because you're modeling it for her.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's not me, it's from God, and you and I both know that. So.
Right. Well, thanks again for calling in. It makes the show.
Thank you
so
very much. I enjoyed this.
Well, great.
You ladies have a great day, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See
ya. Bye-bye.
Okay, so yeah, that gives, I just feel grateful for all the people that are showing this godsend into my life for this project. They're very talented, very loving, very supportive, and I honestly wouldn't be able to do this without them, including you.
Oh.
And the singers are Stephanie Lewan, Faith Dengate, Jessica Collins, and C.H. Henry. And I do hope to have them on one of the shows to talk about their experiences that they have with singing and what they're doing in their lives. And they're just amazing little kids. And, you know, they got wonderful, supportive, loving parents, which is just great. And I just, it's not even something that I even thought that I would get to do with Positive Penny. Like I said, I knew that I wanted to have encouraging music. But, again, to be able to do something, a project that's affecting kids' lives, not only with been happening as far as what the book teaches and what the songs are teaching, but giving them an opportunity to sing the songs and practice the songs and learn to be their best, you know, to shine. And, you know, that's not an opportunity that I had when I was a child. And to be able to give that to other kids, it's just, it's very, very heartwarming. And we do plan on singing out in the churches and hopefully with the Girl Scouts. I'm filling out some paperwork right now to hopefully partner with them and other organizations. You know, we did get to go with at least Stephanie and another friend of mine, Sasha Aaron. We went out and did a storybook reading because I don't have the final EP done, is what they call it now. I always call it a CD, but it's actually electronic press. An EP is what they're calling it now because we have so much on the internet. But I had Stephanie sing the Positive Penny theme song that I wrote with Robin Ruddy, and then Trust What You Know. And in between that, I read the book, and we got a great, great response from our audience. And I'm looking, you know, towards when I get the album done, to be able to do more of those, because I do work as a nanny still, part-time, and I'm working, doing the best I can to get everything done so we have a done product and get out there and teach the positive discipline part of my journey. We can talk a little bit about that.
Oh, good. Well, I've got a couple of questions that I wanted to ask, too.
Sure.
On your EP, which I'm glad you explained, because I was going to ask you, I was like, oh, I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming it has something to do like a CD.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the other titles of your
of
your songs? Because are they all kind of like that type of a
title? That's what each book, it's going to be a series of children's books. I'm so glad you asked this question. It's going to be a series of children's books, and it's going to teach different things. Like the first one is about social inaction, self-esteem. The other one's going to be about perception. It's a beautiful day, how you can see it as an ugly day or a beautiful day. Because it is. It is. Everything that we experience in our life is how we perceive it and how we react.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a lot for me to learn because I was a very, very unhappy child. So it's just so funny that I've been on this journey, and then I get to, because I can really relate with a lot of kids and what they might be feeling and write songs around that. So all the songs on this are about self-esteem, like Trust What You Know, Keep On Believing In Me, I Can Do It On My Own, Perfectly You, which a friend of mine, Lori O'Shea, wrote and is performing on the CD, or EP. All the songs are going to be around what the message is in the book, and it'll tie in things. Like Trust What You Know is actually a phrase in the book. So,
well, the reason I was thinking about that, too, is because it seems like that those would all be, as well as the Scouts, that it seems like that would also be an outstanding program for the YMCAs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they try to teach that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they have all those after school programs,
right?
And so it seems like a natural for them
right.
as well,
right?
Yeah, that
right.
would be really great. And then to be able to have the music to go with it, then that, as we know
mm-hmm.
ourselves, what music does to us. And I remember growing up, remember that little song about. You know, whistle a little tune whenever
mm-hmm.
you're afraid. you know, all those little things that come back, those were all things when we were little that it just helped. And sometimes when you're alone, you don't feel alone if you've got the song. You've
right.
got the little music, whether
right.
it's playing in your head, whether you're singing it yourself.
Right.
It a lot of times it'll help you.
Right.
It'll just help you. And you
right.
don't, you
That's a great hook. I'm going to have to steal that hook.
What is it?
When you may feel like you're alone, it's the song, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. That's a great.
Because it's true. It really
yeah.
is. And I know sometimes just myself, like, you know, things that we're going through, maybe emotionally, and then, you know, we'll just be singing that little, I might be just singing a little song, like, in the morning, like when I'm, like this morning when I was getting some pancakes for Cody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had this whole little song going on in my own mind while I was just singing it to myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make a really big difference. It helps
mm-hmm.
us get through those little bumps, and sometimes, like you said, if we can, what it'll do is it'll bring us through and on the other side of something.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if somebody is bullying,
mm-hmm.
you got that little song that you could sing in your own mind. Nobody
mm-hmm.
even has to hear it. You got it. So what it does is it reinforces what you do have within yourself.
Yeah,
you're not
yeah.
even looking out there. You know, oh, and I've got that song, and whenever whatever happens, I just turn in here, and I've got the tool I need.
Right, right.
To deal with it.
Right,
because
exactly.
you know, mom and dad's not always going to be there.
Exactly.
So part of what you're doing is you're empowering them
mm-hmm.
to be what they need to be for their own self.
Exactly.
And that's something that I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You know, at this age. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, what would it have been like if I could have gotten that much younger?
Yeah. And
you
that's
know?
My passion. That's my driving passion, because all of the stuff that I'm teaching and writing about is stuff I wish I would have known when I was a kid, that I didn't learn, even start to learn, until I was in my 40s.
Right.
So,
well, and if,
or late 30s.
I was saying, and you're continuing to learn.
Yes.
Me, I'm continuing. I'm thinking, wow, I am still, because maybe I'm learning at another layer.
Right.
A deeper layer, more. And it's like, and they always say, you know, what you really learn what you teach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it works both ways, because you're teaching it, and at the same time you're teaching it, it's reinforcing it in your own self.
Right.
And I'll tell that to people when they call me and we're talking about something, and maybe I'll, you know, they're asking me my opinion about something or whatever, and I'll be giving it, and I'll say, well, I just want you to know, it's not like I've got this down myself, but as I'm talking to you, it's helping me.
Mm-hmm.
It's reinforcing it in my own self, because
mm-hmm.
I need to do this myself.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons I think that God gives us the mission that we're given.
Mm-hmm.
Is because we're the perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
How I wouldn't be able to relate to it the same way you do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live through some of that before we know enough ourselves to put ourselves in that person's place.
Right.
And go, wow, yeah, that's probably why they're feeling this way or that way. And I love it, because we're kind of at two different ends. I'm with the older people,
mm-hmm.
and you're at the beginning
mm-hmm.
of their development. And what's so interesting is both are so important.
Yeah.
Because it never ends.
It doesn't.
It never ends. And so, and I really think if I had my wishes, I wish that the two could meet more.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the older ones and the younger ones had more interaction, especially the older people that don't have their own.
Right.
They don't have their own grandchildren or children. And they miss that.
Yeah.
You know? And I was, when I was in one of my centers one day, talking to some of them, and he said, well, look around. I'm just surrounded by old people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's not any of the energy and the stimulation and all that would help kind of revitalize them, because they're all kind of in the same shape.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're bringing this to this young age, I just think it's so wonderful, because they're going to have their whole life to play it out.
Yeah.
And to use that empowerment
for
a better life. If they can see that, oh, I can determine whether this is a beautiful day or not, can you imagine just how that would have changed for me and you had we got that at that age?
Yeah.
On the way we've seen
I would have been a lot happier child.
Yeah.
I would have been a lot happier. And that brings me into positive discipline. When I was sunken into the idea of the book and everything, I thought, I got to have somewhere
it's great to teach the kids this, but I want them to have a home setting where the parents know how they can empower the kids, and it feels good, you know, because I used to hear a lot of things about God and church and different things, but because my parents didn't have these skills that I've learned through positive discipline, which, again, you know, was a growth and inspiration for me through my nannying, because I had two kids that fought all the time, and I decided everything I was doing wasn't working, and I was just like, I've got to do something different. And I went to the store and picked up the book Positive Discipline by Jane Nelson. And then Lynn Lott has had a lot of impact on the writings and other people that have gotten certified. They've written a lot of books. They're from zero all the way up to teens. I encourage you to get the books. You can learn a lot. I learned a lot. It was very healing for me just to even read the book, Positive Discipline, because I learned why I used to do, because I think all of us, in essence, we are beautiful, loving, wonderful spirits when we come into this place. And it's our experiences that change us. And I know I realize now in my spiritual awakening, I was a very angry person. And it was because how I was treated. I was the youngest one. I was told what to do all the time. I didn't feel like I was a part of anything. I didn't feel like I could contribute very much. And I learned a lot of negative behavior to get attention. Oh, sorry. And I learned a lot of negative behavior to get attention, from crying to going in and messing up my room. And my mom would come in and clean it up, bless her heart, you know. She just had no idea, you know, she had no idea what she was doing. And it didn't set me up. I have on the show, the radio show that I'll be hosting once a month, is Creative Family Living. And I named it that because I want families that need to get back to being creative, to playing with the kids, and it not being about us just going to work and coming home and sitting down in front of the TV. If you're having problems with a child, it's because we need to shift. It's because we need to learn how to show up differently for them. And anyhow, positive discipline gives you a lot of really, really good tools to learn how to show up differently for them. And one of the biggest things that I've learned is that enabling a child and not believing in them by not being consistent, and instead of saving them and by empowering them, I'm a lot more firmer with kids, because I realize that when I take something away from them and I want it to be easier for them, I'm saying you're not capable.
Exactly.
And I want to say to these kids, you are capable. You might need some assistance. You might need to have training. You know, that's another thing that was definitely not used in my household was training. You know, it's training your kids how to do it, you know, how to clean the house, how to, you know. If my mother would have had, you know, any essence of doing that, I wouldn't have went off and, you know, at the ages that I did, early ages, and started to have my own family to where I could feel a part of, because I just didn't know, you know. And, you know, having your kids be, yeah, they might gripe about it some, but if you make it fun by putting some music on and mom and dad and everybody getting in there and pitching in and cleaning the house, and how good it feels to have a clean house, and knowing that they're capable at 2 years age or even a year and a half of helping pick up their toys, you're making a huge difference in their lives.
Looks like we have a caller. It's now a good time to bring someone in.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, am I on air?
Hi. Hi, you're on
the air. Okay, hey, I was hoping you could maybe answer a question I've been having with my little girl recently. So I have a 4-year-old and really good kid, but recently she's been really clingy, just crying a lot, and just kind of in general being, you know, just really dramatic about everything.
Well, thank you so much.
Can you give me your name?
Just your first response.
Yes. My name is Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. Thank you so much for calling in. One of the things that I'd love to ask you, we talked about this yesterday. She is at First Tennessee, one of the banks that I bank out. They take really, really good care of you. And she's been interested in positive discipline, and I asked her to call in with this question so we could see what we could help you shift. And so one of the things that I would love to do when we're actually in positive discipline workshops, you can learn a lot from the books, but you learn a lot more when you get into the workshops. And you got to experience that, and
right.
I'll allow you to talk about that here in a few minutes. But we actually do a lot of role-playing where you as the parent get to get into the life of your child and be that child, or watch somebody else be your child and have the actions that they have and how you actually respond to it. And then you'll be able to tell by watching that, you know, well, is that really productive or not? You know, what is that teaching that child? And so one of the questions I would have, think about a particular experience that happens a lot where she's crying, and how do you react to it?
I've tried numerous things. You know, sometimes I'll try reasoning with her and just say, hey, like, what are we crying about here? Oh, well, you know, this may hurt. And I said, well, does it hurt right now? She'll say, well, no. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. Just, you know, sometimes I try talking with her through it. I mean, other times, you know, you get busy as a parent and maybe you're not patient and it's just kind of, hey, can you please stop crying? You know, we got stuff to do. So I don't know. I mean, I've kind of tried everything.
Okay. So
maybe,
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, that's it.
Okay. So one of my suggestions would be to set aside about 10 minutes each day to spend with her. She needs to know that you have boundaries. So at this age, you know, this is a big turning point for her to learn healthy habits, you know, and bad habits. So you can let her know, because you want to let her know that you have boundaries and that just because she's crying, you know, she can't always get your attention, you know, because you don't want her to get into that kind of a role, I would imagine. And so one of the things you can do is you can say, I love you and I hear you. You always want to connect with the child, because they need that connection, and that's usually why they're doing what they're doing. So you can say, I love you, I hear you. When you're ready to calm down, have like a cozy place that she can set up to go sit down and calm down, because then you're teaching her a positive timeout. You're teaching her that it isn't really productive when we're all upset to try and talk about it and come to a solution. We need to calm down first, and then she could say, you know, so what is it that you're crying about, you know, and you know, talk her through it, that kind of thing. But it's kind of putting up, you know, it's encouraging her to calm down so you can talk it through. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Another tool that we have is the positive discipline meetings, and they're on the website. There's a PDF that you can download. It's only like $1.99, and that is a wonderful, wonderful tool. And I've had several families start out with that, and it makes such a difference that they're just like, wow. You know, they come to one of the workshops, and they're like, oh, my gosh, this is so amazing, because I teach them the difference between enabling and empowering and asking versus telling, and people-pleasing versus encouragement. So they really get an idea of it. So I'd love for you at some point that it works in your schedule. I know, you know, you have some challenges with the schedule, but for you to come sometime. But a meeting, you can say, you know, at that age, you can have her write it on the board. You know, if it's a problem that she's having, she says, do you want to put that up on the board and talk about that and come up with some solutions in our meeting? So then your other kids can help come up with solutions for her to feel better. You know, so then she feels empowered, you know, wow, she gets to put something on a board, you know, so she can talk about it at the meeting, you know. So there's several different ways that you can go about it, but definitely, you know, setting up some time to have with her each day, you know, 10 minutes, you know, and say, you know, Mama's going to spend some time with you, you know, at so-and-so time, and you always want to make sure you're going to be able to keep that time frame, right? And so then she knows that she is going to get your attention at that time. So it's believing in her that she can act differently, because there's so many times when you're out and about and they're with other people that they don't act that way. And parents are going, why do they act that way when they're with somebody else? First of all, they're not comfortable enough to act that way. They're only comfortable enough to act that way in front of Mom and Daddy, but it's also about us empowering them to act in a different way, you know. And it could be, you know, I'm sorry you're upset. Let's go put some toys away. Or, you know, just doing something. Say, let's go calm down first.
Can I jump in here a minute?
Yeah.
Also, what I would probably say, even though I'm just a host over here, I've raised two sons, but one thing I think is if you could have a meaningful touch
mm-hmm.
that you gave along with saying you hear
mm-hmm.
and you love them. Yeah. I don't care if it's touching their shoulder.
Yes.
It's acknowledging also you're saying it with words, but just that hand or something, just touching that shoulder, there's just a reassurance there that, oh, Mom's here. She does love me. She is going to be available. I am safe. You know,
mm-hmm.
it is okay for me to throw my little fit, and
right.
I'm still going to be here.
Right.
And also, what I was wondering, Miranda, was what about if we role play? Remember we did on that one show just one example for our caller, you know, the one about, let's say, the dishes or something, when you say ask instead of tell. What if we just gave one little example like that? Because I loved that when we did it on the show.
Sure. Do you have a minute to do that, Heidi?
Yeah, I have a couple minutes.
Okay. All right.
We'll
this is one of our exercises that we do in the workshop, and there again, I think it's a really, really great example of encouraging versus telling kids what to do, and it's increasing their self-esteem. And that's why also, too, a lot of, especially at that age, if you start doing things like this, you know, she can have her own little schedule where she's empowered to know that she needs to get up and brush her teeth and make her bed or whatever her schedule is by having pictures. So you say, you know, what is it you need to do next? And she can go over there and say, well, I need to do this. And she points at it, and she knows what to do. So I think that's another underlying thing of her needing attention and reinforcement and things like that, to where if she's feeling empowered in her life to do things that make her feel better and make her feel empowered by being part of the household, by helping, you know, bake cookies, by, you know, stirring what's in the bowl, or, you know, stuff that's safe for her to be a part of, is a really, really great way to help build their self-esteem at that age and teach them and train them. But this is one of it's ask versus tell, and I almost kind of want to change the name of it, but because I think it's encouraging. You get into the role of your child. If I was doing this for you, to you, how would it make you think, feel, decide about yourself and me? If I were to say, go put your toys away.
I would just kind of see you as the boss, and I'm supposed to do it.
Right.
You told me.
Let me go ahead and do a few more. Go put your coat away. You need to hurry up so you can get in time, so you're ready in time for the bus. Go brush your teeth. You and your sister stop fighting.
So what are you thinking, feeling, and deciding about yourself with that and me?
Well, I'm always not doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of like a little bit like a moth, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's like I can't make a decision.
Uh-huh.
I just got to do what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
Or get in trouble.
Right.
For not doing it.
Right.
That's kind of my only two options, it feels like.
Right. And, you know, and you can definitely use this with a four-year-old. Okay, so the switch on that is going to asking, which to me is more encouragement. So what do you need to do to keep yourself warm when we go outside? You know, what's a little four-year-old going to say?
Leave my coat.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you need to do to keep your teeth clean so you don't have to go to the dentist all the time?
Brush your teeth.
Exactly. Where's my toothbrush?
You know, what do you need to do to, you know, how can you and your sister work this out? What kind of solution can you guys come up with for this to be peaceful? You know, or what is your responsibility after you've eaten your dinner? What's your responsibility with your dishes? What's your responsibility with your toys?
Well, and I just want to say this, that I think it's totally underestimated what a difference it makes when the parents do whatever it is that's being done, like cleaning the house or whatever, because I think what has happened because of our lifestyle and because how busy we all are, we think that we're actually doing stuff with our children when we're not. They're just happen to be in the same area that we are, but there's no real connection, and they don't feel a connection. And I know for myself, having been a minister's wife and taking my children to church and all these different activities, that I thought I was doing things with my children, but they didn't feel that.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that I wasn't, because it was a group setting. There was no real interaction, just us. And that's a big regret that I have,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't set aside the time that was just us.
Right.
I don't care what it was. I don't care, like my dad used to say, I don't care if we're just digging worms as long as we're doing it together. It's like that. But so many times we get caught up and we think, well, you know, we're in the car together. Well, maybe we're on the phone the whole time we're in the car. So they don't feel that we're connected. So.
Okay. So is that helping, Heidi?
That is very, very helpful. I appreciate you ladies for your time, and I definitely feel like I have some things I can take back and use. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you so much for calling in. And keep me updated. Let me know how it's going. And, you know, we can talk about more.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. You have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. That was great. Thank you so much for reiterating that, and I know that you really enjoyed it. I invited you to one of my parenting parties that we did, and you got to participate, and you were really taken with the information and the experiences with the role-playing and that kind of thing. So
I thought it was very beneficial,
yeah.
And I think any family could benefit from it.
Yeah, and you were even saying how you felt that you see that child you know, in your elderly, you see that child that was wounded or had that behavior of needing attention by doing, you know, some crazy thing just to annoy somebody or, you know, or whatever. You see that still in your elderly, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I want to go teach them this.
Exactly. It's true. But you think about it, why would it change unless we had a new awareness?
Right.
We're just going to continue the same thing we've always known. Me and you have up to this point. You know, whatever it is we've learned, it's taken us however long. And so, yeah, I mean, that's why what you're teaching is so important,
mm-hmm.
at any age, because it really applies to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think we even talked about coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this would apply with how you handle a coworker.
Exactly.
If you ask or encourage as opposed to telling them.
Right.
Telling people automatically sets them up to rebel and resist.
Exactly.
And resent.
Exactly.
But to say all the R words.
Yeah.
But it really does.
Yeah. And so what do? They stick their toes and they and stand right here, and it's just kind of like, yeah, make me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't as women, we don't as men, we don't as kids. And then if we're told what to do all the time, then we don't really learn how to think for ourselves. And that was a big challenge for me to, you know, overcome thinking for myself and, you know, the whole people-pleasing thing, because it's like, and I really have to say something about this because there's music out there about the Bible and the belt and how we need the belt again. And I'm sorry, I used to believe in spanking, you know, with a toddler or that kind of thing, or slap, you know, just tapping their hand to get them to, you know, stop touching that or whatever. But I don't believe in it anymore because I've learned the other things that we can do are so much more empowering, so much more building their self-esteem. All of that in this program, you're actually teaching life skills with a child that you also learn in the workshop. If your child's having this kind of behavior and you're feeling like this, there's some belief system that they have that they think that they need to do this to get this reaction out of you, and then you get the solution of what kind of positive discipline tools you need to do to resolve that. It's an incredible, incredible card. I love it. And you know, whipping somebody that was a big turning point for me because I was late one time because I asked what time it was. I couldn't find the clock because there was a lot of, they just had a lot of books and stuff like that, and I didn't see the clock, and I was too embarrassed to ask again where the clock was, and I ended up being late, and I got home, and I got a whipping. I rarely got a whipping, but I got a whipping for that. And that turned the way that I viewed my parents. I didn't feel that I could go to them. So when other things that were bigger in my life that I should have went to them about, I didn't feel I could. And the resentment, oh, my gosh, that built up in me because of things like that, wow. And a lot of people say, well, we used to give our elders respect. I did not respect my parents. I was afraid of them. There's a difference between respect because you're being treated with respect, which was what positive discipline teaches, and that's what I've named the program under the Positive Penny Foundation, which I know we haven't really talked about yet. The Positive Penny Foundation is going to be a 501c3. I'm in the midst of filing for that. That I hope that eventually the Adventures of Positive Penny will be able to contribute to. But also at the same time, we can go out and we can do workshops, and the parents can pay, you know, whatever they feel that they can afford and what they feel it's worth. Because I want parents to have this information. I want to go into churches. I want to eventually go into schools. I want to be able to do parenting parties at home. And I'm open to all of that. Because I really want to spread the word about that, about the program, and that's why I named it Respectful Parenting Solutions, because I believe it's a very, very respectful program. It teaches the child to respect themselves. You know, what if I was asked when I was a kid, what grade do you want to get? What do you want to work towards, and how can I get, what do you feel that you can get? Well, I believe that you can get an A. But if you feel you can get to a B, let's get to a B, and then see if you can do if we can move up from that.
Well, also, if you ask them what they want, maybe they're not willing to put in the time to get an A.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they get to decide. And
right.
I mean, if they just say, "Well, I'm happy with a B," well, okay.
What is wrong with being happy with a B?
Right.
You know
exactly.
I mean, they're going to do that anyway.
Right.
And if we push and we, you know. Tell them we're going to give them, you know, money. Then they're, you know, then they learn to do everything else to please everybody.
Right.
And that can end up being a very lonely life when you're doing everything to please everybody else instead of what you feel you're being guided to do and what you feel your purpose in life is to do. It can be a very
lonely. Well, it's not authentic.
It's not.
Manipulation. It's what it is.
It is.
It's manipulation, and you're teaching them that. Mm-hmm. You know,
indirectly or directly, you may not be aware of it, but that's the end result.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back to the whipping because I believe that's exactly accurate. I believe that all you're taught is to be afraid of them and to whatever you do, just hide it really well so they won't know. Just sneak and do it. You're still going to do it because, see, again, you're just rebelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you think you have someone else to rebel against other than yourself.
Right.
But it's really yourself that's going to pay the price.
Right.
And barely, but we don't learn that if we think that we're only rebelling against some other higher authority than our own.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Exactly.
It changes everything.
Okay.
Once we realize that, oh, I'm the only one here that's going to pay this price. No one else is going to pay it for me.
Mm-hmm.
They may pay their version,
mm-hmm.
you know, but ultimately I'm the one that's paying it. So if we look at it that way and give them the choice, which is really, it is their choice anyway, whether we act like it is or not, because just like you said, even if we tell them we're going to bribe them with this, that, and the other, ultimately they're either going to do the work or they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there. We can't force it.
Right. And it may be that they need to get into a different program where they have more assistance, where they need tutoring.
Right.
You know, and it really helps you if they trust you enough, they're going to be able to tell you what's going on. You know, they're going to be able to tell you or give you some type of signal of what is going on. And like I said, that card of the mistaken beliefs card, that's incredible. And I've watched it over. I can watch it in toddlers. I can sit there and go, oh, well, they think that they're having not, you know, that they have to do this to get attention, that they feel that they have to have power to see, you know, I can sit there and watch that in toddlers, what's in the mistaken goal chart.
Well, I bet you can see it in any age now.
Yeah.
And I bet it's interesting because it changes. Once we have an awareness of something, we can't not have it. So then suddenly you see every interaction with knowing that. And
right.
That's very empowering for you,
mm-hmm.
and for each individual. So it seems to me like that every parent would gain so much in their relationship with their spouse,
yeah.
with their parents, with their coworkers. So, you know, you think you're doing it for your children and your family, which you are, but everyone in your circle of influence is going to benefit.
And especially yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, because when we get upset and we have a funky way of dealing with it because we don't know how to deal with it in a different way, we don't feel like we're giving our children what they need. And we can get, you know, stuck in a constant cycle of that. And this gives you tools to do it, and then we feel better. We feel better.
Well, yeah, because if that continues, then we go with the guilt and the shame, and then that starts a whole pattern of us. So then we give in,
mm-hmm.
and we don't hold true to the rules or to the boundaries and all that. We're not consistent. And
mm-hmm.
so it's that cycles back,
mm-hmm.
cycles back with us. And that's why nothing changes then,
right.
ultimately.
Right, exactly. And I truly believe that if we all love ourselves, the world will be at peace because if you do things out of love for you, out of love and respect for yourself and others, the rest just
could die.
Like the song, love is, you know, all it takes is love. That's what it is. And I just truly believe in this program. I'm excited that, you know, the Adventures of Positive Penny will be out there to promote the foundation and its work. And if you have any questions, the website is www.positivepennywithanI.com. You can reach me there at positivepennymovement@gmail.com. And
what about the Creative Family? Is that a Facebook page, the Creative Family?
Yeah, I have Creative Family Living is the new Facebook page I created yesterday for the show. And so I'll be updating that with my first show, which will be probably in the next couple of weeks that we were talking about. So we'll get that scheduled. And so if you want to join us, go to Creative Family Living. And my name is Miranda Sullivan. And and you can stay in touch. You can ask questions on there and call in.
That will be April the 17th will be your next show.
Okay. All right.
April the 17th will be your next show. And all right. So now let me ask you this. Is there any workshop or anything coming up in the next little bit that, you know, we've got – it's not going to be too long, and we're going to have summer, and people are out from school. Parents are going to be thinking, oh, Lordy, what do I need to do? I'm going to have these kids home all summer. And so is there anything coming up soon?
I haven't scheduled anything, but if you go to meetup.com and put in Respectful Parenting Solutions, you can join our meetup group, and that's where I set them. I do plan on having one in May, about the middle of May. Because I want people to have the information as they go off, you know, for the summer. And I usually don't have the workshops during the summer. I hope to do some traveling and some churches and things like that towards the end of the summer and get ready for fall. And meanwhile, you know, getting the Positive Penny EP done.
That finished up and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I will have one in May, and that, again, they can see on meetup.com. I'll be putting that information on the Creative Living, Family Living site also, so you can stay up with that. And then also, if you go to PositivePenny.com, you can sign up for a newsletter that will keep you informed, too.
Well, let me ask you, would somebody be able to go to your Creative Family Living Facebook page and ask a question or something?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, definitely. I'd love to have questions if something's going on with kids. And then I can talk to you about it personally, or if you want to come on to the air and ask the question, I'm happy to do that.
So you have an opportunity for them. Do you do some consulting where you charge an hourly rate or whatever, where you could consult with the family?
If somebody wants me to come in, you know, just like the show, the nanny, if they want me to come in, I've been a nanny for 8 years, and, you know, and I'm utilizing the positive discipline, you know, tool. So if somebody wants me to come in and observe, you know, the family and what's going on and help them, you know, learn about what they need to implement and, you know, make those different choices and learn, you know, read the books. Reading the books is very important because it gives you the background of it and the psychology around it, because this is based on psychologist work, Dreyfus, and can't think of the other name. It just left my head, but it is Adler Psychology. In fact, I got certified in Chicago at the Adler Psychology Center in downtown Chicago.
Oh, I remember that.
So it is all based on psychology, but the thing that I love about it is compared to a lot of what we experienced as children, they didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And a lot of it's been dysfunction. It's been having a lot of divorces because we don't know how to be in relationships. It's about power struggles. And positive discipline is about having good, healthy relationships. It's about dispersing the power struggles. It's about, you know, getting rid of all that and looking at what the, you know, the end result is, and having a child that is well-balanced, that knows how to work within relationships, that believes in themselves and has a good self-esteem that's healthy. Because loving yourself is not about an ego thing. It's about caring enough about yourself to listen to that voice within and who you are and what you feel in your heart and coming from love. And that's what I feel, you know, all of everything that I'm doing hopefully touches on that a little bit amount. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Miranda, thank you so much. This has been a great show. I think we've given a lot of good information to the listeners. And listeners, if there's anyone that you know that might benefit from the show, it will be archived. It'll be available probably within 5 minutes after we go off the air. And so you're able to listen to it at your convenience. Just click on the link and enjoy. And if you have some comments, I'm sure Miranda would enjoy you leaving those at her Facebook page too, Creative Family Living. So thank you again, and next week Terry Pugh will be on, and we'll
talk to you later. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the Good Friday and Easter weekend. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network, a subsidiary of Crowning Light Productions. For more information on all of our programs, go to our website, theartoflivingwell.tv. This is Gene Bogart saying thanks for listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living.